Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. Pride is held each year by LGBTQ plus communities the world over to celebrate accomplishments made towards gaining full civil rights and continue the push for more until equality is achieved. The first Central Coast Pride was organized in 1997. Over the years, Central Coast Pride has grown from a few hundred attendees to one of San Luis Obispo's largest community events. Community volunteers spend months planning various events aimed to educate, entertain, and uplift. Join Lata Murty today as she speaks with guests Michelle Call, Executive Director of the Gala Pride and Diversity Center, Dusty Collier-Worth, Gala Board President, Arthi Kattari, Gala Board Secretary, and Lynn Schmidt with Central Coast Pride. They'll talk about the history of Pride, share details about upcoming Slow Pride Fest, as well as talk about continuing work to lift the LGBTQ plus community and how we can assist with these efforts. Good afternoon, Lata. Are you with us today?
I am. Thank you, Hank.
Sure thing.
25 years after the Central Coast's first Pride celebration, the Gala Pride and Diversity Center and Central Coast Pride 2022 are experiencing significant changes. Here with me today to talk about those changes are Michelle Call, Executive Director of the Gala Pride and Diversity Center, Dusty Collier-Worth, Gala Board President, Arthi Kattari, Gala Board Secretary, and Lynn Schmidt with Central Coast Pride. Welcome, Michelle, Dusty, Arthi, and Lynn. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Lata.
Thank you so much for having us.
So, Lynn, I'm going to direct my first question to you. For those of our listeners who maybe have not heard of Pride before, what is it?
Pride is a community-wide celebration. We invite the entire San Luis community to come join us in a music celebration of all things Pride.
Would anyone like to add to what Pride is?
I would. This is Michelle. I think that, yes, so this year's Pride is going to be a huge celebration, and Pride is always that, but it is also a protest. It is also an acknowledgement of the rights that LGBTQ plus people have fought for and continue to fight for. And it's an awareness of all the, it's another opportunity to bring awareness of all the things that are happening right now in the country and the world that are creating challenges for LGBTQ plus individuals.
And what are some of those things?
Oh, well, I think there are things like the Don't Say Gay bill that recently passed in Florida. There's anti-transgender bills. There's all kinds of negative legislation and rhetoric going around that's very harmful to the mental and physical health of LGBTQ plus individuals.
And so that's today. Could we go back to more of the history of Pride and what was going on when Pride started? Why did it come about nationally? Dusty, would you like to speak to that?
Well, I mean, I think it touches on something Michelle, or even, you know, it is a celebration, but at the onset of it, it was, you know, also a significant protest, you know, coming off of the Stonewall riots and then leading it, you know, into the Christopher Street March, you know, in 1969, you know, that really start of a very active and visible movement for LGBTQ plus rights in our nation. You know, and of course, because we have to do it fabulously, it is also a fantastic party, but again, it's also recognizing, you know, that so much of what it meant to be LGBTQ plus at that time and was criminalized. It was highly marginalized and criminalized. And we were done having that be the case.
Yeah, this is Arthi, and I think it's important for us to revisit that history every year, because like everybody has mentioned, this is a celebration and it's also political. It started as this space to say, no, we're here, we deserve these rights and we deserve to not be raided at these safe spaces. And it started as, you know, a resistance against that, you know, type of police brutality.
So Pride came to the Central Coast in 1997, the celebration, 25 years ago. Could any of you tell us more about that first Pride celebration here on the Central Coast?
I'd like to talk about that a little bit. I wasn't here. I hadn't moved to San Luis Obispo yet at that time, but Doug Hoyman, who is our past president, was here. And last year for Pride, we did some TED-style Pride talks in which Doug talked about what it was like to create the first Pride here in San Luis Obispo. And they had it at the Mission Plaza because they really wanted to have it in front of the Catholic Church and be fully visible because it was the town center. They were very trepidatious. They were afraid there would be protests. They were afraid that people would look very negatively on it because 25 years ago was a very different climate than it is today. But it went off without a hitch. There were speeches, people felt very welcomed. And Doug will tell you that LGBTQ plus people felt like they were seen, visible, and accepted. And it was just a really amazing, affirming day for everybody that attended.
Are the recordings of those talks available?
I don't believe there are any recordings, but we have found some newspaper articles and things like that. And just a little plug for the San Luis Obispo Central Coast Queer Archive Project. They have a lot of LGBTQ plus history on their website.
Great. So was the Gala Pride and Diversity Center involved from the very beginning, from that very first Pride celebration in 1997? They were.
Yes, but we were not the Gala Pride and Diversity Center at that time. We were the Gay and Lesbian Alliance.
Okay.
So it also tells a story of, even as an organization, the strides that we've made to be more inclusive of the entirety of our community, to even see that transition from, yes, Gala as of yesterday was involved from the very beginning with Pride, but also to see this dynamic transition over the years to include every letter of our alphabet soup, as we call it in some instances, to make sure that there's a safe space and a welcoming environment for all members of the LGBTQ plus community in Pride as we move forward as the Gala Pride and Diversity Center.
So tell us more about that alphabet soup and and what strides Gala Pride and Diversity Center, or formerly Gay and Lesbian Alliance, made over those years, over the past 25 years. Let's start with the alphabet soup, and that refers to what? Lynn?
Well, the full acronym is the LGBTQ plus IA community, and that covers a very wide spectrum. When Gala first started, it really was the Gay and Lesbian Alliance because we were the most visible at the time. And we have grown to expand to include all gender identities on the spectrum. And as in all things, nobody is a complete woman or a complete man. We do gender on a scale, on a spectrum. And this is just acknowledging that our sexuality is on a spectrum. And we cherish that, and we acknowledge that, and we embrace that fully so that people can be their authentic selves, that they don't have to hide. I came out in a time that I played the pronoun game, because if anybody knew that I was in a relationship with a woman, I would have lost my job, lost my housing, been completely ostracized. So we've come a long way. Never did I ever think that in my lifetime we would see gay marriage. And here we are, not to get into the political climate, but the current situation before the Supreme Court very well could be a direct line into challenging our right to be married to those that we love.
No, thank you for that context, Lynn. And I think that that speaks to the importance of celebrating Pride as well, and why the community, and not just the LGBTQ plus community, right? But the Central Coast as a whole and the nation as a whole comes together for Pride. But to give a little bit of time context here, as we're talking about over the years, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance then started in what year on the Central Coast?
1994.
Okay. And then the first Pride celebration was 3 years after in 1997. And so what was the Alliance's involvement at that time? Did they do all of the first Pride in 1997? Were they one of several organizations involved, or what was their role?
So as far as I know, it was a committee. So Central Coast Pride is a committee of the Gala Pride and Diversity Center, and always has been, as far as I'm aware. There has always been collaboration with other organizations because we want to be inclusive and have as many folks as possible. And that's been different throughout the years, and it's definitely grown into things like having nonprofit organizations tabling and vendor booths and those kinds of things. I don't believe that was right at the beginning. Those things have come along afterwards.
And so when did the Gay and Lesbian Alliance become the Gala Pride and Diversity Center? When did that take place?
So that transition happened between about 2018 and 2020. I started in May of 2018 with a mandate from the board to start looking into this change and becoming a more inclusive organization. And so we worked on changing the mission statement, the values, the vision, the bylaws, the policies and procedures, all that kind of stuff. It took a couple of years to get all that in place before we could and do our name change, which had to go to a vote of our membership. And then we started working on the diversity, equity, and inclusion work alongside that.
So those are several developments there with the center, or the alliance that then became what we now know today as Gala Pride and Diversity Center. Could you talk more about the center itself today? I'm not sure all of our listeners have heard of the Gala Pride and Diversity Center before. Adhi, could you tell us more about Gala Pride and Diversity?
Yeah, so we are located at the heart of San Luis Obispo, right downtown. And the center is a place for people to come and get services. We have groups available for young people. We also offer therapy, and it just is like a pillar point in the community that serves as a place to know that this is a safe space for all LGBTQ plus people.
Great. So going back to Pride and the Pride celebration, has that changed as well, its name over the years? We talked about Gala Pride and Diversity Center being the Gay and Lesbian Alliance, and now the Gala Pride and Diversity Center. And I feel like Pride itself, when I was looking into it, has changed names over the years. Has it? Can you talk about those name changes, Dusty?
You know, I can't think of all of the different monikers that it may have gone by over the time, especially in our community, but it's always had that impetus of having some level of the word Pride incorporated into what's happening, because Pride, like I said, not just an event, it's also a movement. You know, so when we think about that, there's connectivity to, you know, rights for the LGBTQ+ community woven into what Pride represents. So, you know, whether it's, you know, San Luis Obispo Pride, you know, in just Central Coast Pride, encompassing more of our entire community, to really also, you know, some of the dynamic programming that Lynn has been working on this year to really uplift that, we'll call it a Pride Fest, you know, this festival mentality to just really encapture the scope of, you know, this epic event that's taking place.
After 2 years of being in COVID,
last year,
a huge celebration and an opportunity for us all to be in community with each other again. It's been a hard 2 years, and we need to celebrate. Being in Laguna Lake Park is an opportunity to have lots of room and lots of space to feel safe. After 2 years of being in quarantine with COVID.
I think, Lynn, I think you touched on it exactly right there. When we're going from the start of this Pride in our community to being in Mission Plaza, also still a great space, but also to be definitely in front of that Catholic church in the heart of the community at the time. And understanding, I said, like, our community is much larger and has far more things that we're trying to express, and that need, especially after COVID, to come together in a very big way supersedes that need to necessarily be right in the middle of downtown.
I'm Lana Murty with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. The voices with mine today are Lynn Schmidt with Central Coast Pride, Aarti Kothari, Secretary of the Gala Pride and Diversity Centers Board, Dusty Collierworth, Gala Board President, and Michelle Call, Executive Director of Gala. And we are talking about Central Coast Pride as expressed in the region's annual Pride celebration, as well as the Gala Pride and Diversity Center. We invite and welcome you to bring your questions or comments about today's topic to our guests. To do that, call 805-549-8855, or you can email them to voices@kcbx.org. So Lynn, Michelle, Aarti, and Dusty, right before this break, we were talking not only about Pride, but also about who Gala Pride and Diversity Center are and what it does. Could you talk some more about what changes and developments are in store for the Gala Pride and Diversity Center in the near future?
I can definitely speak to that. Michelle can as well. You weren't aware, Michelle Call, after this dynamic handful of years really moving the organization forward, is stepping down from our executive director position. So we have been on the search for a new executive director to fill those very, very large, very, very dynamic shoes that Michelle is leaving behind. Fortuitously, she's not off the hook. She's going to stay involved with us to help with this great transition, and maybe move from staff into a dynamic, wonderful, large shoot volunteer for the organization. Really taking this vision that we have, especially with our very strong DEI statement and focusing on intersectionalities and the greater community that we serve, understanding we have LGBTQ plus people that identify in multiple ways. And so really taking our DEI statement to heart and expanding our services to be even more inclusive, inviting more people to the table to receive services, expanding our service and reach into other parts of the county. We have a great center centrally located in San Luis Obispo, but we know that we have people in need in other parts of our county.
Yes, and the board identified at the beginning of the year a couple of areas where we really want to move into next. And I think that's serving the Latine community a lot better than we currently do, and also looking into the unhoused community, particularly young people. We know that there are a lot of young people who don't have stable homes because they're LGBTQ plus, because they came out or something has gone wrong in their home. So we are definitely looking into those areas.
So going back to a couple of the terms you used, Dusty, you said DEI and also intersectionalities. So those might be new terms for some of our listeners. So could someone explain what DEI is and a little bit more about why this became important to Gala?
I can definitely give a definition. When we talk about DEI, that's diversity, equity, and inclusion. So obviously, when we look at diversity, we're talking about all of our social identifiers, whether that means our sexual orientation, our gender identity and expression, our race, our ethnicity, our ability, our age, all of those factors. And so when I talk about intersectionality, we're talking about all of the multiple levels of that that we experience as individuals. None of us are just one thing. So when we talk about intersectionality, it's all of those diverse identifiers and where they multiple of those might exist in each of us as an individual. And then we talk about equity, it's understanding that, you know, their systemic things in our community have led to many of our marginalized communities not having the same experience or the same access to resources. So equity is making sure that we understand that due to that systemic and historical oppression, more resources are need to be allocated to some of our marginalized communities in order for them to have that equal outcome, that equality that we all want to reach. Equity has to come first. And then inclusion definitely is that sense of belonging. I mean, it's that authentic seat at the table where you feel like you are welcome and belong and have a space to be in that you can be your authentic self. And that is the ultimate goal in all of the work that the Gala Pride and Diversity Center hopes to deliver.
Did you have something to add, Arti?
Yeah, I just want to say, I think that's everything Dusty said, like that's why our DEI statement is so important to me as a brown person, to also show that our agents or this center is open and inclusive and available for any person, regardless of how they identify, regardless of what intersecting forms of oppression might be impacting their lives. And even the way that we made our statement, right, LGBTQ plus people, we've always gone against these norms of society. The way that we made our statement goes against how other agencies like ours might make DEI statements. And that's why I'm so proud of it, that it is, you know, something that is so comprehensive and progressive. And I just think it's really important for everybody to be aware of that.
And might I just jump in and say, it is a driving force behind everything we do. It has been a driving force in setting up Pride this year and the music that we offer and the food that we offer and all of the things that are being presented. It is a driving pillar in all things that we look to include and do.
Yes, Michelle.
Yes, I agree with everything that's been said. And you asked, how did we come to this? We made all the changes in our original 3-year goals about how to do the name change and all those kinds of things. And then we looked at it and we thought, who are we serving and who are we not serving? And it was really obvious. We serve white people really well. And that's great. But there are people who are not white people and we need to be serving them really well as well. And so that's why we started to work with queer profs to have these listening sessions where we invited BIPOC people to come and tell us what, you know, we don't know what we don't know because we're white. but we really want to do the right thing, and we want to make an organization that's welcoming to everybody at all those different intersections. And so that was really where the impetus for the change came from.
And so, Arti, you had mentioned that this statement, this DEI statement that Gala has is different from statements of similar organizations. So what are some of those specific differences? What makes this DEI statement for Gala different?
I think what Michelle had mentioned, the fact that we took input from the community that we're trying to serve and really listening to those voices, the fact that it is so comprehensive, you know, just looking at, you know, other DEI statements might not be this comprehensive. And we're very explicitly including like action items. So I think that's what makes it different. Yeah.
Deliverables.
Go on, Michelle.
I was just going to say deliverables. Like when we, yes, when we spoke to the Yaktichu Tichu Yaktilhini Northern Chumash tribe, we discussed not only how can we make a statement of a land acknowledgement, but what can we do to back it up? What does real change look like? What does changing our attitude look like?
That was, right, I think, some of the most important parts. Sorry, Arti. It was the actual action and intentionality behind it. It wasn't just a statement. It was a commitment. And with that commitment comes with it, not just the expectation, but the demand that we be held accountable to that statement.
And so, Lynn, you said that this statement then became a driving force for Pride this year with the music, yeah, and the food. Can you talk some more about that and how that's driven those specific choices for this year's celebration?
San Luis Obispo has developed the statement that we will be sustainable, and that fits right into our land acknowledgement. So we have worked very hard to make sure that we minimize handouts, that we offer alternatives to sharing information, that we provide kids' activities that actually have sustainable things that they can take home and use again. So actually every decision that we have made has been with the lens of what can we do and how can we make it sustainable and how can we limit our waste to be as respectful to the land and environment as we possibly can.
And Michelle, you had put in the chat pane here, listeners were on Zoom, Soul Dust Productions. Did you want to elaborate on that a bit before the break?
May I?
Yeah, Lynn.
Soul Dust Productions is a group of DJs that approached us and said, hey, we'd really like to be part of Pride. Can we do a DJ stage? And of course, I said, absolutely. So they have also included a very diverse group of DJs for music that will be running Friday all the way through to Sunday. We're very excited to have them on board. They are an amazing group of partners, and we are looking forward to hearing what the community has to say about us expanding from one stage to two.
I think it's funny, missing a lot of that programming is for sure also, and I said, like, has a lot of multicultural flair to it as well. But also, I know we, Lynn worked super hard on getting things like the bilingual story time added in some of our youth and children's areas, having a quiet, sensory safe space for our neurodivergent population coming into to the festival. So, you know, a lot of thought and detail was put into it, but also requiring every vendor, exhibitor, sponsor to also understand and commit to our DEI statement and affirming policies to our community.
These are significant changes, and I look forward to talking about them some more after the break, but we are at the time to take a short break to hear from our studio and a little bit of music. Over to you, Donna. Two shows or everything.
I've got.
Listening to Central Coast Voices with host Lata Morte, and you can call in for questions regarding the topic today at 805-549-8055. Lata, you can take it away.
Welcome back to Central Coast Voices. I am on with Michelle Call, Executive Director of the Gala Pride and Diversity Center, Dusty Collier-Worth, Gala Board President, Arti Kotari, Gala Board Secretary, and Lynn Schmidt with Central Coast Pride. And we are talking about the Gala Pride and Diversity Center and its involvement in the Central Coast's annual Pride celebration, taking place this year from Friday, May 20th through Sunday, May 22nd, 2022 at Laguna Lake Park. I'd like to remind our listeners that if you have a question for today's guests or a comment for our discussion, we would love to hear from you. Call 805-549-8855, or you can email questions and comments to voices@kcbx.org, and we will get them on the air. So we were talking right before the break about the music that's planned. There's going to be bilingual children's and story time. Michelle, would you like to talk some more about that?
I would a little bit. I'm really excited about the musical offerings because there's going to be music, not only DJ music on the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which is going to be an amazing eclectic mix of all different kinds of DJs from soul to funk to just anything you can imagine. But also, we really are intersectional in the bands that are going to be playing. We're going to be having bands on the Saturday, on the Sunday, some things on the Friday night. We've got bands like Purple Hibiscus, which are a soul band, Asi Kamara, who's an Ethiopian neo-soul artist from Atlanta. And of course, we'll have our favorites like Jill Knight. It's not a Pride in San Luis Obispo without Jill Knight. And then we've got the Molly Ringwald Project, because we know that all of our gay and lesbian friends love 80s music, and who doesn't, right? So there's all kinds of different types of music. No matter what your taste is, you will be able to find something.
And the bilingual story time is in Spanish and English?
Yes. We have a bilingual drag queen who will be having story time.
So are most of these events and these plans, which all sound wonderful, by the way, but are most of them new this year, new for this year's Pride, or have any of these bands been involved before? You mentioned some that were involved before. Was there a children's time that was bilingual before? Are a lot of these new this year?
A great many of these are new this year. We've always had a very strong kids activity area. We have just put a slightly different twist on it. And given the space that we have at Laguna Lake Park, we have the ability to also include a story time, both in the morning and in the afternoon. So all of these elements have been present before. We've just expanded them and put a slightly new spin on it.
So where can our listeners find out more? Where can they find out the information?
The full list of activities can be found at slowpride.com. That's S-L-O, pride.com.
Great. And so for someone who's never been to a Pride before, ever, it's their first time, what should they know, or how should they prepare, if at all?
They should prepare by coming to have a fabulous time. I encourage people to bring a chair or a blanket to sit on and just come have a good time. This is time to celebrate, to have fun, to enjoy one another's company, and have a beer, have a taco, have a good time.
I would also like to add to come as your full self, come with no expectations and just absorb everything, all the joy that there's going to be that weekend, embrace connection and meeting new people, and just come with all of your energy and sunscreen.
Definitely the sunscreen, but bring the whole family. I mean, that's the heart of it too, is that there's spaces and activities for literally every age group in the family that they can come and enjoy and experience Pride.
And for those experienced Pride goers, we also have the opportunity to volunteer at Pride, and that also can be found on our website under the giant red volunteer button, which will take you right to that spreadsheet, and you can sign up with your friends. Volunteering at Pride is a lot of fun, and I encourage experienced Pride goers to pitch in for a couple of hours and help us out.
And the reason that we need so many volunteers is because we are providing this celebration at no cost to the community. So the only thing that we're charging for tickets for is the Friday night drag show. And you can get a ticket for $10 for that. If you can't afford it, let me know. I'll treat you. So, you know, other than that, the celebration is entirely free for everybody because we want the whole community, LGBTQ plus and allies, to be able to come and really enjoy themselves and visit our resource fair with local nonprofit organizations and get all the information you need. Access Support Network will be present and they will be doing HIV and Hep C testing for free. You'll be able to get information on mental health. Lumina Alliance will be there with all the information on sexual assault and intimate partner violence prevention. There will be vendors selling all kinds of Pride merchandise and other kinds of things. So really, there is an opportunity to spend your money and donate some money to the Pride Center if you want, and we would be really happy if you do that. But there is no financial barrier to entry for this event.
There is a parking pass fee. Just going to throw that out there. So we also have free valet bike parking, and we're right on the bus line. So we do encourage you to either carpool, bike, or find another alternative way to get there. But if you do bring your car, there is a small fee for a parking pass.
Oh, good to know. Something we haven't talked about yet, I don't think, it may have been briefly mentioned, is that the month of Pride nationally, perhaps even globally, is the month of June. Right. And in the past, I believe Central Coast Pride has been celebrated in July often. And this year it's in May. So why not June?
Honestly, we shifted it so that Cal Poly students and Cuesta students could be part of our celebration. They are definitely part of our community. And when we have it in the middle of July, they were unable to participate. And we very, very much wanted to include them in this celebration. There are several Cal Poly students that have been intricate in planning this event. And we could not have pulled it off without their diligent help.
I'd also say in that very large way, you know, as Michelle was mentioning, that the largest part of the celebration is free and accessible to the community. That is because of phenomenal partnerships and sponsorships with organizations such as Cal Poly, who is a sponsor for the event. You know, our presenting sponsor of United Staffing Associates, who is a huge supporter of this, and dozens of other dynamic community partners that step forward and step up to support Pride in our community to make it the accessible celebration that it is.
And a listener has a suggestion actually for the event and says, I saw Say Gay wristbands for sale on Instagram. Maybe that could be a fundraiser.
Oh, I want one. I want one right now.
I want one now too.
Thanks for that suggestion.
Yes, thank you. And for those who are just listening in, tell us again where they can find out about this year's Central Coast Pride Fest.
The full lineup is at slowpride.com. That's slowpride.com.
Great. And so I have a question for each of you about Pride this year. But before we do that, I'm going to make another announcement here and remind everyone that I am Lata Murthy with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's show and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It's available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices and you will find this show and many others to choose from. Today I am talking with Lynn Schmidt with Central Coast Pride, Aarti Kothari, Secretary of the Gala Pride and Diversity Center's Board, Dusty Collier-Worth, Gala Board President, and Michelle Call, Executive Director of Gala. We still have a little more time for your emailed questions or comments at voices@kcbx.org. So, a personal question, kind of. What are each of you personally looking forward to most at this year's Pride? Pride Fest 2022. Arti, how about you?
I guess I can start. Personally, this will be my first and last full Pride in this area. I am a transplant to SLO County, and I think I moved here right when the last Pride in Mission Plaza was happening. And in that time that we haven't been able to have Pride celebrations because of COVID, I have really found my community here through the Gala Pride and Diversity Center and through other LGBTQ plus folks that I've become very close with. So I'm really looking forward to having the space to just celebrate. We haven't had that in so long. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the fact that it's a full weekend festival, and I'm just excited for everybody to be there. I'm also looking forward to supporting our youth who are going to be there and selling their artwork, but we can talk about that after.
Great. So there will be youth artwork there and music, as mentioned earlier, children's activities. And again, that is Friday, May 20th through Sunday, May 22nd. Yes. At Laguna Lake Park. So, Dusty, what are you most looking forward to?
Oh, God.
At Pride this year.
Let's see if I can say it without crying. So I think back to the first Central Coast Pride that was ever held in 1997. That was the year I graduated high school in this county. And I think to my 17-year-old self, what it would have meant to really feel and have this celebration wholeheartedly take place. I was not in a place to attend at that time. But knowing how many of our kids in our county now really need to see this very visible show of support and celebration. So what I'm most looking forward to is seeing those youth, seeing that youth in our community come forward, celebrate, be their authentic selves in a safe space, and really know that they're not alone.
Lynn? I know you've spent months organizing this, so it's probably hard to pick just one. So I'll let you pick several.
I don't even know where to begin. I am thrilled, and I just can't wait to see how it all unfolds. And I am excited to, you guys, I get me choked up too. I'm excited to see people enjoy the space and, to be in community and to enjoy all the offerings that we have pulled together for everyone to enjoy. And I am immensely grateful to the board of the Gala Pride and Diversity Center for their trust in allowing me to create this space.
Michelle, this will be your last Pride as executive director.
And maybe the first one I'll actually get to attend. So every year since I've been executive director, I have helped plan Pride, and some personal family emergency has come up and I've not been able to attend Pride. So I'm actually looking forward to attending this year. And I'm stepping down because of my health. I'm immune compromised and I'm having some health issues. So I haven't seen anyone basically for the last couple of years because of COVID. So one of the things that I'm looking forward to most is just catching up with community and seeing people I haven't seen in person for 2 years, because it's outside and because we've spread out into this much larger space, I feel as an immune compromised person safe attending. I'll still be wearing my mask, but I am feeling safer about attending and seeing people. So to me, that community coming together, being with people, and being with people who with whom I can be my authentic self, which has been the most amazing thing about having this job at all, is just to be able to come to work every day as my authentic self, to say I'm pansexual, I'm polyamorous, I'm kinky, I'm all these things, and it's okay, and the board supports me. And so just to have all that in the space for a whole weekend, that it's blowing my mind still. I'm very much looking forward to it.
So that speaks to, you know, I think what the Gala Pride and Diversity Center itself outside of Pride has done and means for the community. And so all of you have been in leadership positions now with Gala. What has the presence of the Gala Pride and Diversity Center and its growth and development meant for each of you personally in your time here so far on the Central Coast? Michelle?
I'll go first because I think mine is the easiest. This has been the greatest job of my entire life. When I had my kidney transplant, I said I was only ever going to take work again where I'd make a difference in the lives of others. And I feel like in this job, I have made a difference. And that has been incredibly special. So.
I'm guessing that Lynn and Dusty and Arati can attest to that difference. And the difference that the center has made in your own lives. Could you talk a little bit about that?
I see it the most with our youth. So we have youth groups that we have some on a weekly basis, some every other week. And myself and about 8 other facilitators are just instrumental in hosting these groups, creating this space for young people. And the way that I've seen it is just seeing them come through our doors and just a weight is lifted off of their shoulders. They feel like when they come here, they can be themselves, that they're accepted. And that has been the biggest impact for me, just being that facilitator of the Q youth groups.
So for those youth involved in Pride this year, will it be their first Pride for some of them?
Some of them it might be, yeah, because COVID has, you know, we haven't had Pride. You know, everyone is coming out at their own comfortability. And I'm really excited for the young people who feel like they are ready to attend Pride, for them to see what it's like and to just be surrounded by their people.
Great. Dusty, so you were talking about your 17-year-old self.
Let's not go back to him.
We won't. But thinking about since then, what Gala has meant for you and still means.
You know, it is, again, you know, and exactly for me, what I wanted to continue to mean for all these youth, which is you are not alone. And that you don't even have to have the words to describe who you are, what you are. That's honestly, you know, what that plus means. We know we don't have enough words to describe everyone. And that's okay. You don't have to put it into words. You just are allowed to be and celebrated for whoever you are. And I think that's what I love most about what it means, the Gala Pride and Diversity Center and its work and this continued work means, is all of us have permission to be our authentic selves, whoever, whatever that might be.
Lynn?
You know, I started several years ago with the Gala as the art curator for Art After Dark, and it was a joy of mine to find new and emerging artists to show. We have been on a hiatus. I'm anticipating that we will be back in Art After Dark in September with photos from this weekend's Pride event, May 20th through the 22nd. And I don't even have the words to express what leadership has meant to me at the Gala Pride and Diversity Center. I work very closely with the board, and I enjoy watching us grow and expand. And I have been part of the DEI statement and the growth and the name change and the bylaw changes. And I am grateful as a volunteer to be able to be such an intricate part of all of the growth that we have had. And I look forward to many more years of involvement and growth with the center. It's become a staple in my life. I guess that is the long way around of saying that.
Well, and we will see the results of that May 20th through the 22nd at Pride Fest 2022. By the way, when did you start working on this? How many months does this take?
Not enough. We should have started long before we did. But we've been working on this since about October of last year. And it was a little rough getting it started. And we really had no idea what the scenery was going to look like now. Because as you all remember, we were still pretty locked down in October. Which is another reason why we decided Laguna Lake would be an excellent choice, so that we had lots of room, because we had no idea what the scenery was going to be like in relation to COVID. So yes, that.
Well, I'm looking forward to a great Pride weekend and beautiful weather, I hope too. Yes, Lynn.
I just want to throw out that there is the Queer Archive Project with David Weissman. There is going to be a happy surprise on the website later tonight. If you all want to go to Breezes and relive the one and only gay bar in San Luis, that is an opportunity coming up as a after party for Pride. And those tickets will be on sale this afternoon at the website, slowpride.com. And you can check out the Slow Archive Project at slowarchive.org.
Great. Any final words that you want to leave our listeners with today before Pride, or about your time with Gala?
Come, enjoy, have a good time. We want you, whatever that looks like. Bring a chair, bring a blanket, just come and have a good time.
Yeah, I was going to say, join us, block out next weekend on your calendar, block out the 20th through the 22nd, block it all out. Join us for the entire weekend next weekend. And really, the lineup is so dynamic with new things happening every moment. That's why I said, you know, do bring a chair, as Lynn mentioned, because you're not going to want to leave. You're going to want to keep on enjoying the festivities.
Yeah, bring everyone you know, bring your family, all ages. And if you don't know anybody, still come, make a friend.
Yep. And so all the information again is at www.slowpride.com, SLOPRIDE.com.
Thank you so much for having us today.
Thank you. Thank you, all of you. Michelle Call, Executive Director of the Gala Pride and Diversity Center. Dusty Collier-Worth, Gala Board President. Arti Kotari, Gala Board Secretary, and Lynn Schmidt with Central Coast Pride. We've been talking about celebrating Pride, as well as the Gala Pride and Diversity Center. and their histories on the Central Coast. We also discussed Central Coast Pride 2022, taking place May 20th through the 22nd at Laguna Lake Park in San Luis Obispo.